This episode is brought to you by The Waxing Guide, a true guide to get you through all of your waxing needs. And I am so excited to bring you a really special class happening right now. In the show links below, you can give it a good click and it will take you into a free master class called Time is Money, where I teach you, the soft wax instructor, how to take control of your finances through Brazilian waxing. If you are somebody who is doing 20 minutes, 35 minute, 45 minute Brazilian waxing, you're somebody who struggles with technique and really having those ultimate struggles from Brazilian waxing, and you want to learn how to make 3 to 4 times your income in your business, then this is a class for you. Like I said, it's completely free to take. And I suggest getting on it because it is limited time and it also comes jammed packed with bonuses that you will never see again. Like I said, check it out in the show notes below. And I am so excited for you to get your hands on this masterclass. Hey everyone, welcome back to The Waxing Podcast. I am here with your fave girl, Mackenzie from The Wax Room AZ.
Hello, how's it going?
We're going to continue the series called our 10-minute mini episodes. If you're listening to this for the first time saying, what series, who's Mackenzie, what are you talking about? Then don't worry, we've created already 4 that you can go back and check out. They're my favorite because they cover really important topics in our industry in just about 10 minutes. We started with 10 minutes and then we changed it to 10-minute-ish.
Yeah. 10-minute-ish.
Yeah, because sometimes we get carried away. So if you are a fan of these, go back and listen to them all. I highly recommend it. Mackenzie is a perfect co-host for these episodes because she has built not only a brick and mortar, but a social media influence. She has multiple employees. Mackenzie, what number are you at now?
I have 7 girls under me.
Yeah, which is absolutely insane. Most people don't even get that in their lifetime. So Mackenzie's so full of knowledge on top of knowing about, I don't know, what do you not know? She travels, she goes to trade shows, she's done The Waxing Guide. Like, she's just done so much. So it's a perfect person to have on here to get your questions answered. And with that being said, I'm excited to kick off our first Q&A.
Yes, let's do it. Let's rapid fire them.
So this Q&A was inspired by us going on Instagram and writing a story, having you, the listeners, share in your questions for Mackenzie and I. These could be business questions, life questions, waxing questions. There was really nothing off the table. And what's really nice about these is they really warm me and Mackenzie up, and they get our juices flowing. So let me go ahead and pull up our first question. I felt like these questions were all very similar, like different questions, but in the same wheelhouse. And I found that really exciting because this also helps me, Mackenzie, figure out like what we should talk about next in a deeper way rather than just firing out answers. So,
It always seems like a lot of people in the industry end up kind of like in the same boat with things that they need help with. So
I could not agree more. All right. Our first question, let's see, let's just kind of group these similarly together. I really liked this question. It's very popular. Mostly everybody goes through and needs this question answered at one point in their life, which is best or favorite booking system.
This is also a controversial topic, I feel like, because I use Vagaro. When I first started, I used Square for like a few months, and it just is not that advanced for what I needed and what I wanted. I wanted consent forms on there. I just wanted everything streamlined and put together, something that was specifically meant for service-based stuff. And people do use Square for service-based stuff. It's just when you have a lot of employees, it just makes it easier to navigate something like Vagaro, where it is tailored to that. So I use Vagaro. Some people hate it. Some people love it. I've never had an issue with their customer service. They have so many add-ons. They are constantly doing updated like features on there. But I love it for integrating the consent forms. You can leave notes on clients' accounts. You can do soap notes. You can do files. You can do pictures on there. You could literally do everything. You could sell product online through your thing. What is it? The online booking site. So there's a lot you could do on there. And so I love Vagaro personally.
Do you have like a specific really big pro that like sold you on Vagaro?
I found that the running payroll on there, so I don't process my payroll through Vagaro, meaning I don't use like a third party like Gusto or Gusto integrated and like Gusto pays. I use ADP payroll, which is like a well-known popular payroll company amongst corporations everywhere. And so I just pull the payroll from Vagaro and then I save it and I send it to ADP and they process it. So I found that their payroll, like pulling payroll, was very easy to do. I cross-check it and all of that. And then, so I liked it because of that.
Yeah. Awesome.
It is pricey though. It can get expensive.
So. I was going to say, is there like any major cons you would like flag people if they were like curious in it?
Yeah, I will say they kind of nickel and dime you on the features that you want to integrate into your system. It's nice because I think it's like $35 a month now to use. But if you want to add on, if you want to take credit cards online when people are booking, you have to add on their online processing system, which is an additional $10. If you want to do consent forms, it's an additional $10. So it's customized in the sense that like you can pick and choose what you want to add on, but it does come at a price. And I just incorporate that into like what our expenses are and round it up, because you could do like emails and text messages through there as well that cost extra. I'm spending about $600 a month on my Vagaro system, but it is like, that system for me is like, it's my workhorse. Like I'm using that all day long, every single day. I have 7 employees, so it works really well for me.
Yeah, in that sense. I also feel like you said, it's like a growing system. So like you used Vagaro or you used Square for a couple of months, didn't like it, went to Vagaro, and I'm sure you were paying way less when you were just
Yes, for sure.
Like customizable in price, but yeah, like you grew with it so that you didn't have to like hire your third person and go, this system no longer works for us. And I think that's really nice. Like maybe Vagaro is perfect for someone who sees a growth in their future with employees. Yeah.
Yes, it definitely has grown with me and I've added things on as over the years. Also with Vagaro, I want to say like some people find it very hard to navigate. I find it not as difficult to navigate. So if you are looking into Vagaro, just like take it for what it is. Just look at things. It's out there. They also are very active on their Facebook community group for dodging issues. They have tutorials everywhere on their website on how to set things up. And I use those so much in the beginning. So that's another kind of like iffy thing.
Okay. Yeah. So for me, I use Square. Mackenzie and I are in completely different ball games when it comes to our clientele. I work not as much in the treatment room and it's just me. So I take clients now 2 days a week and I'm only there for 4 days both of those days. So like 8 hours a week. So Square was, I needed something super simple.
Yeah.
I didn't want a big overhead with a booking system because I'm just there 8 hours a week. Like I don't need to use all of the built-in features. If I do have something to say to my clients, they charge you per email. I'm fine with that. I'm not running like emails and marketing and things like that because that's not where I'm heading. You know, I love my clients. I've had them for 7 years and I service those people. I don't look to grow beyond that at this point in my life. I did that. I've done that, but I'm heading a different direction. So Square works for me because I'm a solo business owner. It's easy for my clients to book appointments. Mm-hmm. It really does get the job done. I am sure there's better features on Square, so I can't talk about the growth of it, but I can say it does, you know, the basics like store a card, check people out, show no-show fees, cancellation emails, as well as reminder emails and texts, which I do love. It just really automates everything for me. What I really, really loved is if you're somebody starting out, they actually offer a free subscription, $0 to get started, to get used to the system and to kind of use it in a very basic way. So that's really nice.
especially if you're going out on your own, you're spending a lot of money, and you maybe just don't want to have that monthly payment yet. You can always upgrade at any point. But that was really nice. I did that for actually like a couple of weeks because I was like, oh, I only am working 8 hours a week. Like, this is perfect. I'll do it for free. I did find that I needed to upgrade pretty quickly after that. So Square is very like beginner friendly, user friendly. All of my clients have no problems rescheduling, scheduling, all the things. Yeah. One of the things I'll note is I worked with Mind and Body for a really long time as an employee. And although I loved Mind and Body as an employee, I'm sure as a business owner, it's amazing too. I noticed as I was going to businesses that also use Mind and Body that I was getting really annoyed with like the login and sign in process that Mind and Body requires you to do to make an appointment online. Like, I would go to a Pilates place or I would do like a nail place that had Mind and Body, and I would like forget my password, and that would totally make me not want to move forward into booking. And then I would just call. You know what I mean? And Mind and Body has that. Although Mind and Body probably is similar to Vagaro. There's nothing you can't do in Mind and Body.
Yeah. Vagaro, I know what you're talking about with that. I personally have like, I call it my dummy account with Vagaro. That's like my client version of myself. And that's what I use for other people that use Vagaro, because my hairstylist and my nail lady both use it. Because it gets weird as like the owner of a whole account with the Vagaro. Mm. It just gets weird and difficult because we've had other like hairstylists that use Vagaro and come in, and it's like we can't edit their profile at all. We can pull them in, but we can't like change their phone number or do whatever. It's very different. It's rare, but that can be a little bit tricky as well. But otherwise, I like it. So.
Awesome. I'm now realizing this is going to be way longer than a 10-minute episode.
It always is, Kirsten. Like, I don't know why we say 10 minutes. It's more like 10-ish is probably an understatement. It's more like 20.
We're fast.
Moving on. Let's go fire these out.
Okay. Accounting software, you said, ADP.
ADP is payroll company.
Oh, payroll.
So it's payroll. And there is like more user-friendly, like if you want to do it yourself kind of situation called Gusto that I know that a lot of people are using as well themselves. I pay an accountant quarterly. They handle that. I just pull the paperwork and I send it off to them.
Okay, perfect. I have the same answer. I know some people do, what's like a popular accounting software? It's QuickBooks.
QuickBooks, yes.
Yeah. So maybe beginner-friendly if you want to check out QuickBooks. QuickBooks is great because they have a ton of YouTube videos as well. They can teach you everything that you need to know. However, I don't let myself be in charge of big money things like that. Like,
no.
I think an accountant is always a way to go. If you are a business person and you plan to take it for real, please go get an accountant.
Yep, 100%.
Let's see. Hiring an employee, we're going to cover this in an episode. So this is too big of a question, I think, to fast fire it. Mm-hmm. If you ask this question, you're listening right now, we hear you. We hear you so much that we're going to make a whole episode about it.
Yes, we are.
And then we'll wrap in starting pay for employees as well to that. Do you want to add that into the episode, or do you want to have an opinion on it now?
Let's have an opinion on it now, because I think it can vary. So, first of all, you need to check what the average pay rate is going for in the city and state that you're in, for one, and go that direction. Personally, for someone that has done commission only plus gratuities for employees, I have switched to hourly plus commission plus gratuities, and I found that to be a little bit more manageable. Yeah, for me, like in the sense that like I don't feel as bad that they're sitting around. Like if they don't have a client, I don't feel as bad because I know that they're still getting paid and I can find other things for them to do. Whereas like if they're commission only, I kind of was like weird about like having them do extra things because they technically weren't getting paid anything. So I think it just kind of like saves you a little bit in that direction.
Yeah, I love that example of that because I agree with you. Like sometimes having commission, you, especially being someone who was commissioned for so long, you really do stick in your what you do there is like business. But when you are hourly, now your requirements are a little bit bigger, they're broader, they, you know, not that I always was like an A player. So like, yeah, I always did beyond my commission.
Sure. Right. Yes. Right.
I can vouch for that.
With the girls too. Yeah. The girls that were on commission as well too, for sure. Yeah, 100%. They did more, but it's like, I always felt a little bit like, oh, like mm-hmm. technically, you know, they're not getting paid. So
from Rhea's mouth herself, I've had many conversations with her about this, is she said going back, if she could change everything all over again, she would hire hourly plus commission plus.
Yeah. And it's like, I do, obviously my minimum wage is hourly. Typically it'll fluctuate maybe. And then a lower percentage of commission. So it's not like hourly $15 an hour plus 30% commission. No, it's like mm-hmm. $15 an hour plus 10% commission, or even like 8. That's kind of low. I would stick with 10, but you know, that direction.
Yeah. Okay. So what about assistants, like front desk?
So they're an hourly wage. And I am very transparent, and I'll get into this more when we talk about hiring, but I'm pretty transparent. Like, that is not a livable wage. I'm very well aware that working front desk is not a livable wage. I'm like, please have a second job. Like, what's mm-hmm. happening? But I try to have my girls at work front. They are growing into the position to come to the back. So it's not like they're stuck there. They're growing and they're earning their stripes to come to the back, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I kind of hire with like that kind of sort of expectation.
Yeah. And I love that. And this is the thing too, is like, your business does different things and it doesn't have to be exactly the way that we're saying it. And
right.
I know, like, just from working with my last previous job for so long, I started as a receptionist, so I was not working a livable wage. You know, I just started kind mm-hmm. of going forward and sharing my story about how I ate cereal for mm-hmm. breakfast, lunch, and dinner when I first started out as an esthetician, deciding mm-hmm. that I only wanted to be an esthetician. I didn't want to be an esthetician and because it wasn't a livable wage. But
right.
when she started moving forward and growing her like business with like packages and things like that, she started giving her receptionist not only an hourly, but like if they were able to be on the phone and close like a 6-package laser deal, or if they were able to close like a $1,200 microblading deal, then she would also give the receptionist commission, which would mm-hmm. then turn the receptionist into a it would turn them into like a more motivated receptionist, right? They yeah. just wouldn't get on the phone and be like, hey, you know, this place, how can I help you? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, if you want it, you want it. If you don't, you don't. All right, bye. It was like, oh, yeah. You want microblading? Okay, yeah, well, this is the only place you should go, and let me tell you why, you know? Yeah. So like, it was a little bit motivating.
Yeah, eventually down the line, I hope to offer something like that for my front desk girls as well. We're just in the two girls that I have that are mainly up front are going to be moving into waxing positions. So totally. It's mm-hmm. going to be down the road, but I do hope to do something like that as well eventually.
Yeah. Well, and that was like where I worked. That was like year 5. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
and it when takes I was time.
There, which is like yeah. year 7 or 8 for her. So yeah. like, yeah, that's in no way, but just like sharing experiences of like
yeah.
receptionist pay. I think that always varies. I'm in a mm-hmm. situation right now where I'm about to start looking for like a virtual assistant. I'm like mm-hmm. really into that right now. I'm mm-hmm. like, what can I do to get a virtual assistant? Well, first of all, I need to like hit certain sales. So I'm doing goals. But a question I'm asking myself is like, what is a virtual assistant worth? So I'm going through like yeah. the fancy stuff as well.
Yeah.
Which they're worth everything if you can get them to do like the right thing.
A lot of things. Like, exactly.
Yeah. And so I'm just trying to like figure out, and I have this really bad emotional like attachment to like, I want to pay people way more than they probably should. Like the average earner probably is making. Cause I have this like really, I don't know. I try to pull myself out of that all the time, but, okay, let's move on.
Okay.
What do I do when I'm experiencing burnout?
So what I do that has helped me over the years, because I also would get lots and lots of burnout. So this is, we just celebrated 5 years of the Wax Room. And so what has really helped me is I put things on my calendar to look forward to, whether it's like a trip up north or a trip to California or just like a spa weekend or like just a weekend that I'm already putting into my brain that I'm like, I'm taking a break. I'm not going to think about work. I'm not going to do it. And I won't. So it's not like you have to go somewhere, but for me, it helps if I put something on the calendar to look forward to. And I know something's coming up to where I can like decompress and do all of that. I also just like follow my own heart and gut at this point. So if I'm feeling burnt out, guess what? I'm taking a break. Even if it's just for the day, I'm just like, I'm not checking the schedule anymore. Like I need to relax. It's too much. I need to stop. I just stop. And it's also because the burnout also comes from like comparing yourself online. Like mm-hmm. that is part of the burnout. And I see that and I feel that. And it takes a lot of just like inner work of yourself to be able to wake up every day and be like, I'm not affected by all these people online looking like they're doing more than me, making me feel like I should be doing more than what I'm already doing. That's just like inner work that just like honestly has come to me like over time, because like I don't want to wake up and feel like that all the time. So I guess it's just like an inner thing that you really have to like work on every single day. And it's like the world is not going to stop. It's still going to continue to move. And it's like, okay, you didn't get everything done today that you needed to. You feel like your task list is never ending. It's like, guess what? Tomorrow's a new day. We can do it tomorrow. It's going to be fine. So that just really comes down to just like the inner work of yourself. Yeah. I feel like personally. So
I feel like that's a good answer. I'm similar to you. I not necessarily book trips, but if I'm feeling burnout, I have to remind myself in some way, like why I'm doing what I'm doing, yeah. why I'm earning, like why the byproduct of selling something gets me money, right? It's like because mm-hmm. not working equals no money and working mm-hmm. equals money. And sometimes I have to remind myself that I have money because, you know, mm-hmm. so I'll go and splurge, whether that's splurging on a $30 bowl or mm-hmm. like a, you know, $100 swimsuit. Like it doesn't have to be anything crazy, but I like to reward myself and remind yeah. myself why I'm working in the first place.
Yeah.
And it's something that you can do quick. It's something that you can, and I love your answer though. I love mm-hmm. like booking a trip. There's nothing more exciting than knowing that's coming.
I found that out, like, I would say like maybe 3 years ago, I realized I was like, I need to do this for myself. And this is my business. I'm making money. There's no way, like, why can't I spend some of it like mm-hmm. on something that I want to do? And it's not like I'm booking like extravagant trips. For a little bit, we did do Hawaii a couple times, and that was a little bit more. But like this year, it's just a bunch of California trips. And like I have family there, so I'm staying for free. And it's like, it's just something that I know that like I need for myself. I need to get out of this state to fully just like let go and let the girls handle everything back at home. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I'm like trying to think of a social media one. Because I feel like sometimes when people ask about burnout, they're asking about internal burnout in yeah. the treatment room. And I also think at the same time, it's external burnout outside of your treatment room in the social media atmosphere.
Yeah, 100%.
And for me, when I am experiencing burnout, especially in the Instagram world, because that's where I primarily do my social media, mm-hmm. I find that when I step back and I wonder why the burnout is coming, a lot of the times it's because I'm doing too much scrolling. And when mm-hmm. I do too much scrolling, I get very lost and I get very scatterbrained and my ideas start to merge into other people's and I just start to build chaos in my own mind. And so when burnout happens, I pull back from scrolling and I go into creating. And that's what I like to do. That's what a lot of us like to do in our industry. That's why we're here in the first place. We're not accountants and we're not sitting at a computer all day. No, we're creating. Mm-hmm. We're helping clients feel better about themselves. And we just want to relive that on social media. So
you explained that very well, because I feel that too, but I never really knew like how to like put that into words. But it is. It's kind of like chaos and scattered in your brain. And then you feel so anxious that you're like, oh my God, like I'm behind or whatever. Mm-hmm. And also really quickly too, if you are feeling burnout, like inside the treatment room, do you have breaks scheduled? Mm. Is there a lunch break, an hour? I'm not talking no 15-minute break. We all know you run over with your client and that break is gone. So mm-hmm. every single person listening right now, you need to say out loud, do you have breaks scheduled? And if you say no, you need to go book some right now.
Yeah, you should go book some right now. And
yeah.
And also, like, are you, if you have complete control over your schedule, yeah. are you living the schedule of your dreams? You know, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, this business is yours and you get to do whatever you want with it. And are you doing yeah. it the way that you want, or are you doing it the way that you think it should be? I think that's yeah. a big question to ask yourself too. Because for me, mm-hmm. leaving at 2 is awesome. I make yeah. it so I get to do that. Like, you know, yeah. some people work from 12 to 8 and that's fine. I want to work 10 to 2 because that is what makes my clients. Mm-hmm. And if I were ever to go back working 5 days a week, I would build my schedule around that to make sense for me. I would be done mm-hmm. by 2, or I've been working 3 to 7 and I like it. I get home around 8. Roman's already chilled out. Like, it's like nice. Mm-hmm. I get that one day break from home. Yes. And then I get that one day, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but if you're an employee, yeah. Like, are you taking full advantage of the breaks that you are entitled to? Like, please mm-hmm. do. Like, don't work through it. I get it. And yeah. I've done it. Trust me. I've worked through many breaks in the mm-hmm. 7 years I've been doing this, and it's never, yeah. it's never worth it.
My girls work 4 8-hour shifts a week and they get a 30-minute break in each day. So they're mm-hmm. technically only working 30 hours a week. Yeah. That's like part-time in any other industry, but they are making full-time pay. So
I worked 4 days a week at my old place where I worked for 5 years, and it was amazing. So mm-hmm. I really do feel like that 5-day thing is like a burnout, is an easy yeah. burnout.
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Should we do one last question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do... I like this question. It can go a little bit longer. Maybe give us 4 minutes. How do I sell my products to my clients?
Okay. So I have questions in return. Okay. Do you use the product, and do you love the product yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And do you love it so much you just like can't shut up about it? Can't stop talking about it?
Did you see your thing do that?
I did see that, but I thought it was telling me something else.
I have no idea how it did that. If you guys, yeah, you guys might not be watching, but she put her thumb up and then like it put a thumb up. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. Anyways,
do you like your product and are you using it? Is that what you?
Yeah.
That's what you
yeah. And do you love it that you're using it? Mm-hmm. And do you like want to tell everyone about it? Because I feel like that is the easiest way to sell products to your client is you need to use the product yourself and love it. You need to connect with them with a personal experience. Oh my gosh, I just used this ingrown eliminator serum from Fur and it totally cleared up this angry ingrown that I had. You need to try it.
Yeah.
It comes from personal connection with the product, and I feel like that's such an easy sell.
Yes. I am currently taking, which I've told Mackenzie about in voice memos on yesterday. I'm in a master class, and I'm learning all about I'm learning how to mend my relationship around selling. I've allowed myself my whole career to say I'm not a natural salesperson or I'm not good at selling. And why? It's because in our industry, that is the word vomit that we all feed ourselves. Like mm-hmm. we weren't taught in school how to sell. So we're mm-hmm. not good salespeople. So retails and I have a really hard relationship together because I'm not a natural salesperson. I'm an esthetician. I've allowed that to feed my mind for so long that I now believe that sales is gross and sales is tacky and sales mm-hmm. is predatory. And I'm healing that relationship because in fact, it's not, because what's on the other end of a sale is somebody getting better results.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so for my answer to this, somebody saying, how do I sell products to my client? I think the best way to rewire that question is like, how do you give your client better results? And what does that end up being? A sell.
You're so smart.
Well, so no, smart. I'm in a class.
Well, still.
And I'm just getting very inspired by it because yeah. I'm healing that part of me. And so of course, in my natural ability, like, so one of my like human designs is I'm a projector. And so what a projector does is when a projector finds out information that they feel so inclined to like taken, they can't help themselves but to project it out to others because mm-hmm. they feel like, if I know this, you have to know this too. Like, yeah. if it's working for me, you need to know this formula because mm-hmm. like it works. I'm like the biggest skeptic. And if mm-hmm. I'm not a skeptic, that means there's no way you can be a skeptic. Like, that's
yeah.
how our projector works. So
yeah.
One of the things that Mackenzie said that I loved was she said, you know, do you believe in the product? Because you have to be so immensely in love mm-hmm. with what you're selling, or else they will tell that you have that uncertainty written all over you. And uncertainty leads to them not seeing you as the authority, right?
Yeah.
Another thing is, if you are selling a product to somebody and you are talking about ingrowns and you are just feeding them a ton of different reasons why this product works for ingrowns, it's too much. They don't need to hear all that. In fact, they don't want to hear all that. What they want to hear instead is you looking at them and saying, what specifically are you dealing with that you don't like, right? Mm-hmm. So then that client would then in return say, honestly, like, I don't mind the ingrowns as much. It's actually like the dark marks that they're leaving. It makes me not want to put a swimsuit on before or after. It makes me not want to be intimate with my partner. Mm-hmm. So what they just told you is, yeah, they obviously want to get rid of the ingrowns, because to get rid of the ingrowns is to get rid of the dark marks. But more importantly, they're really focused on getting rid of the hyperpigmentation. And so what you do, instead of saying, yeah, this product has willow bark in it and willow bark's going to help with your ingrowns, you turn around and you say, well, actually, this ingrown eliminator serum is jam-packed with brightening ingredients like lactic acid. This lactic acid is going to go into the skin, relieve those dead skins from the dead surface on top of the surface area, and then it's going to bring up that hyperpigmentation, and you will experience so much brighter skin that you will be in a swimsuit by the summer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but I'm buying that ingrown eliminator serum. So you really do have to. Isn't this so funny? I'm in love with the class.
You're such a salesperson. Like, you truly are.
Well,
but like, in like, salesperson sounds grimy, but you know what I mean? It's yeah. like, and actually, even before this conversation, like, I mean, you could sell me on anything. I'd believe anything you say. Totally would. And well, honestly, it's just like, you have to have like that genuine chat with your client. And personally, mm-hmm. the way I talk about products is, I don't, especially if they're a first-time client, I'm not here to stress them out. Okay. I'm here to calm them down. Let's get you service. Let's see how you like it. I send them home with samples, but I also don't talk about product until the very end, because I'm like, let me talk about you. What is going on with you, your life? Who are you? What's happening? I might notice some things while I'm doing what I'm doing. And then at the end, and I even tell them like, oh, we're not going to talk about aftercare till the end. I literally will tell them that. They'll ask me. I'm like, I'll talk to you about it at the end, because you're not going to remember none of it right now. You yeah. know?
You're and building then, that genuine connection. You're in mm-hmm. fact saying to them, even though you're trying to get to know them, what they just heard is like, I want to know you
first.
This is not my first priority.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You are my first priority. And then your concerns are something we can talk about next.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know? So it's yeah. like, you say this, but they hear this, which I find always really interesting. So,
yeah.
I guess wrapping that question up is sell. It's like, well, do you believe in the product? Like Mackenzie said, mm-hmm. it's so important. You have to have the belief system around your product that it in fact works. Because if you don't mm-hmm. have that, you don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then number two is, I always say, don't be afraid to ask questions. Find out what they're experiencing, not what you mm-hmm. think they're experiencing. Mm-hmm. Number two. And number three, I think shorter always wins. I think longer loses them. I think shorter and to the point is what actually gets the sale.
100%. Yep. I love that our 10-minute episode is now 30 minutes.
I know. All right, guys, we're done with the Q&A. But I hope that you also heard this Q&A and you thought, oh my gosh, I got the questions that I needed answered, even if I wasn't the one asking them. But because they answered these questions, my brain now wants to ask them another one. So my recommendation for you is to go onto our DMs, the Wax Room AZ and at Tampa Waxer, and write us a question and say, hey, I saw your episode. I would love for you to do another Q&A, and I would love to ask this.
Mm-hmm.
You can also go on kirsten@thewaxingguide.com, and you can say the same thing to me. I'm going to start a compiling list of like all the questions that we've been asked. And each time Mackenzie and I are going to get on, we're going to rapid fire some of them. But as you can see, some of them need nurtured. Some of them yes. need to go a little further. So yes. we'll do our best to time it correctly for the next time. But this is pretty good for the first Q&A. You and I are talkers, most importantly. So I think we did pretty good.
I think so too.
All right, guys, we'll see you in the next one.